Hi.
What's up? How you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm so excited to talk about this weekend, yesterday's race, the 2024 U.S. Olympic Marathon Trials.
It was a happening.
The Super Bowl of running.
Yes, yes, indeed. Hey, before we get going too far, we need to shout out our sponsor, Inside Tracker.
Inside Tracker has been sponsoring the Sweet Run podcast for over 3 years. Inside Tracker. We love that they are about health and wellness and finding out what's going on inside your body. You guys can go find out and get your own blood test and results, and they're going to help you find out what's going on inside your body and give you suggestions on how to implement the changes that you need to make. So go to insidetracker.com/sweetrun and use the code SWEETRUN to save
25%.
I'm Natalie.
I'm Gerald.
Welcome to the Sweet Run podcast. It was so, I mean, I feel like it was such a fun day. Friday night, I went to bed. I was so excited. I felt like I was getting ready for a race. I set my alarm.
You did?
I told you to set up Peacock and make sure everything was good. Gave me the elbow
first thing in the morning. Go make sure it's all right. I set it up last night. But go check again before it starts.
I know. I did not want to oversleep. I wanted to make sure everything was good. The kids were excited. We woke up. We had a watch party.
We did.
Yeah.
We did. It was a good time. Unfortunately, Josh and I had to run out to his meet for him to compete, and we didn't get to see the finish. And then we get this like call in the car where we're almost there, and you're just going bananas over the way the men's finish went.
The women's finish was incredible. The women,
yeah. There was a lot of stuff going on.
A lot of stuff going on. I was bummed that you guys weren't here. We were happy that Josh
had
to race. And he and his team ended up winning the winter championships in the DMR. So that was exciting.
Yeah.
I was having FOMO that either me or preferably both of us were not in Orlando. And I was like, you know, I did the same thing as I did in Atlanta like a week before. I was like, babe, I just feel like...
Figure out how to make it happen somehow.
But it couldn't. You were out of town for work all week. I was holding down the fort. The kids had so much going on this past week. And with Josh's winter formal and his race, it was like, how could I miss both of those events?
Couldn't miss all that.
So,
but we made it happen in LA. Yeah, we had a good time.
Yeah. Should we talk about the race?
I just need to get into the juicy stuff first. First off, how do you have the race locked up? You're winning, and you turn to your teammate and say, "You got it, dog. Take this one at the trials."
You're talking about the men's race.
At the men's race.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. So, Clayton Young, Connor Manns, they are incredible. Like, just the two of them are such amazing runners, marathoners. I feel like they were kind of made for this. And what I love about the two of them is just their love, their camaraderie for each other, and they're just amazing teammates. They work so well together. In fact, like a week ago, maybe less than a week ago, I was watching on Track Access, the YouTube channel, one of their last tune-up workouts before the trials. They were in Utah. It was cold. It was snowing. They had their coach, Ed Eystone, there. Jared Ward was there, who they highly look up to. Jared, he's a teammate and a mentor and a friend.
What's up, Jared?
What's up, Jared? Jared's been on the podcast. He's a 2016 Olympian. We got a chance to see him live make the team in 2016 in L.A. But anyway, I watched that last workout and I was just like, my jaw dropped. Like, they are just so talented, and clearly they were the absolute favorites and number one and two seed going in to make this team. So,
well, steel sharpens steel. So clearly it works.
Yeah. And we knew they were going to be the two to beat. So, yeah, it was exciting to watch. You know, at the very end when they knew they were going to make it, there was clearly no one behind them. They were going to go 1-2. Connor seemed like he might have been having a little bit of a harder time, which we found out later that he was having a little bit of a harder time. Clayton was like, we got this. I got you. Stick on to me. We're finishing this. We're going to Paris, the two of us together.
Yes, definitely.
I loved seeing that. And then at the very end, you kind of see Connor use his hands as a gesture to Usher, I mean, Clayton. Yeah, I'm sorry. Clayton ushering Connor in, like, you take the win. And I was kind of like, okay, wait, what is happening here? Like, am I seeing this correctly? And it was a beautiful moment. Just the fact that we knew both of them were going. Mm. Connor took the win. They were hugging each other. It was incredible. I have to say.
Couldn't it have been a beautiful moment when, you know, Clayton said, oh, great, we're. After he crossed the line.
I know. And so I wrote about it on Threads. I was like, what just happened here? Did, you know, Clayton give Connor the win? And if so, like, you know, why?
Why?
And people were weighing in. I didn't know any of the backstory or the context or anything. And the people kind of were weighing in on it and all of the things. And I was like, I said, if, you know... Mm-hmm. We're best friends, you and I. Say mm-hmm. we're both men, and we're best friends, and we did all this training together. And at the end, I love you, brother, but I'm not going to. I'm going to cross the finish line if I'm ahead,
and it's I'll a turn fair right race. Around.
But I'm going to turn right around, and I'm going to hug you. And there's no danger of both of us not making the team, right? I'm going to turn around. I'm going to hug you. It's going to be all good, but. Is that bad that I want to take the win? Is that I did not ever feel like, because I felt like that's what athletics and sport is all about.
Well, also, there's a certain sacredness of the opportunity. This is not something that, you know, this is not you getting a Cracker Jack box and you're guaranteed to get one of these. No, this is like once every 4 years, the chances of repeating or being on the stage again, having being the top, being in shape and physically and all the things that need to happen aligning on that day. You got to take it when the iron, you know, strike while the iron's hot. But there must be some context.
There was some context. And so, you know, I was combing through just so excited about all the coverage, all the media coverage, all the interviews. So it was really cool to see Clayton and Connor like do all these interviews.
Yes.
And there is some context there. They have a special friendship. And it seemed like in the 20K championships, Connor let Clayton win
take
it and get the prize money and the USATF points or something like that. I hope that I want to make sure that I'm saying that right.
Okay.
And so then he let him take the Olympic marathon trials win. So I was like, you know what? Whatever they have going on between
are
them
they
is
happy?
Special. If they're happy, I'm happy.
All
it
good.
Was a beautiful moment. I'm so happy that both of them are going. But I also wanted to say, like, to just stir the pot a little bit, like I was just saying, that, and here's what I want to say. A lot of people in different comments were saying, that was such a classy move. That was so classy. He's a class act, which Clayton is. Both
sure.
of them are,
yeah.
just from everything that I've seen.
Okay.
But I want to say to you, if it's the two of us, we've done all the training together, mm-hmm. and I'm in the position to win the Olympic marathon trials, am I not classy if I take the win, but immediately turn around and hold out my arms and grab you and we have the American flag together, but I take the win? Am I not classy?
I don't think you're not. I don't think that would be a low class move to take the win on that stage with that rare of an opportunity. Right. If you've got it, take it, because that's what you trained for. Just and vice versa. Right. Either one of them. Right. But clearly there was some context.
There was some context there.
And I know I keep saying that.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way I can explain it.
Right,
because
right.
my natural self, when I heard you, you know, when you called and you're like spouting off all this stuff and you're like, oh my gosh. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, wait, what happened?
Yeah.
No, come on. No, really, what happened? And I'm like, I don't get it. I don't get it. But. I wasn't there.
Right,
and
right,
all
right.
the other stuff and, that happened leading up to this that made sense for them. And, you know, kudos yeah. to the
and
two
I,
of them.
You know,
Connor
at the end
Clayton.
Of the day, whatever makes people, you know, happy and they're going, they're
going
to
well,
represent
yeah, they're going. Yeah.
Team
yeah.
USA in Paris. I feel so proud that they're going to represent our country.
Yes.
They're going to do an amazing job. It's going to be a fantastic Olympics. But let's talk about the third place.
Yeah, we need to figure out how to unlock this third spot to get Leonard Carrier on the plane to Paris to compete. Not just the what is he even an alternate at this
no,
point?
No, or, no, he no. He is not just, on the team. Well, first of all, we'll get into the logistics and the details of that.
Okay.
But I agree with you. We need to get Leonard on the team so he can get on that plane to Paris, because he was fourth in the Olympic trials in 2020 in Atlanta. Now he's third.
Yes.
We want to get him there. How can we get him there? Well, there's some rules. Now, I have notes because I want to make sure that we are talking about this intelligently. We know.
All right, give it
exactly.
to me.
So here are the ways that we can unlock the third spot.
Okay.
Okay. One, we would have to run, or someone on
some
the
other
men's.
Men, U.S. man, right?
A U.S. man would have to run 208.10 or faster in an eligible race, which is not Boston, because okay. that's a point-to-point net downhill race. Now, let me expound on that a little bit. One of the things that could have happened, since Connor and Clayton have both run 208.10 or faster, they unlocked
Locked.
The spots.
Yeah, they're in.
They were in, provided that they got the number one and two spot.
Correct.
Which that's
yes.
a little bit, because I think there would have been a problem if they would have gotten the number three spot, because the number three spot hasn't been unlocked. So we can technically only send two
Ooh,
men right now.
That would have been crazy.
I know. So they really had to get one and two. I think that's correct. Now, here's the thing. So what would have had to have happened yesterday was the race, they would have had to have run 208.10 or faster.
Correct.
So if they would have run 207.56, that would have unlocked the third spot.
Regardless of what Leonard had done. Oh, okay.
And Leonard
okay.
would have been able to go. But that didn't happen. It was a hot day. There was
it's
a lot
Orlando.
Of sun. It's Orlando. So the winning time was 209.05.
That's right.
So so slower than 208.10.
Yeah.
So we didn't unlock the third spot. So we have to, someone has to run faster than 208.10 before May 5th on an eligible course. And Ooh. It cannot be Leonard Career.
Right. He can't do it
he
himself.
He can't unlock the spot himself, according to World Athletics. Number two, someone has to get top five in a platinum level marathon event.
Okay.
Or have a high enough World Athletics ranking. So, so if Leonard cannot chase the 208.10 time
yeah,
now that the race is passed
yep.
and that time is passed, he basically now has to have a high enough World Athletics ranking.
Right.
So, or we have to have another U.S. man run 208.10 or faster in an eligible race before May 5th to unlock the spot so Leonard can go. It feels so complicated.
Come on, America. I know you're out there.
We need our men.
Step up. We want you, America.
And unlock the spot for Leonard to go.
Get this man there. And I say it that way because
he
Talk
had
about
Army
America
across his chest.
Doing it
he
for America.
He came in fourth in 2020 at the trials.
Yep.
And he, here's the thing, he exudes so much joy.
Yeah, he was
optimism.
Happy as all get out.
His interview on NBC was
yes.
just like, you wanted to start crying. I mean, this man, and he was even saying, he was so humble. He was like, I'm so happy to have gotten third. And actually, that feels good enough for me, like, essentially.
Because it was better than his previous outing
better,
at the
better
trials.
Better than the previous. And, you know, I think he was kind of essentially saying, yeah, I want to go, but I'm also so happy. And it just the way that he was talking about it, there was not a trace of
angst, jealousy,
bitterness, nothing.
None of it.
Just kind
of
like, I'm so incredibly happy. I'm happy for Clayton and Connor. It was just a really beautiful moment. I love how they also greeted him, wrapped him in the U.S. flag and hugged him. I thought that was a really great moment. I do think that one of the things that I wanted to talk about was the fact that I feel like Leonard has not gotten enough media coverage. And that was a little
Just for being third.
Just for being third, making the podium. And potentially going to the Olympics. In the past, it's been just kind of like, if you come in top three, number one, number two, number three,
boom.
You make it to the Olympics.
Punch your ticket.
It's an amazing thing. You are now an Olympian. It's a life-changing moment. So to have all this like red tape go on is hard for all of us to swallow. But on top of that, for the U.S. media not to embrace Leonard's third-place finish, just because we're waiting for him to officially make the team feels, it's hard. It's hard to see that. I wrote on Threads.
Yep.
I was kind of like, how is Leonard doing? How is he feeling? Like, in the sense that we saw that initial interview. Well,
I would say that initial interview, it kind of looked a little weird. I mean, you had one, two, they're going, the spotlight's on them, and then Leonard, I guess, was just kind of sitting there with the smile.
Well,
I don't know.
No, in the first, okay, well, there's two. There's a few interviews. The first one, when they first crossed the line, and NBC, they, you know, interviewed the three of them, it was kind of like very much they brought him into
into
it. Mm-hmm. He had a chance to speak for a few, you know, for a good amount of time about it, and the spotlight, he got a little mm-hmm. bit of spotlight. But then I felt like later in like other official press conferences afterwards, okay, it was kind of like people were like, hey, Leonard, great job, so happy for you, great.
Boom.
Okay, and then that was it. And then he was kind of in the background, and they were talking a lot to the one and number one and number two.
Rightfully so.
Which rightfully so. But I just felt like I want to see Leonard get more media coverage. And I feel like that there are a lot of other people that they were highlighting in the media as well, or highlighting in the media, period.
Who didn't get top three. Yeah.
And it does kind of make you wonder. Let's just put it out there, because Leonard was born in Africa.
In Kenya.
He's a Kenyan. Specifically, okay, yeah. In the country of Kenya.
Or he's an American who happened to be born in Kenya. Yep.
Yeah, so he was born in Kenya, came to America. He is now officially an American citizen. But let's talk about that. Does that take away from the excitement of him potentially making a U.S. Olympic team? Is the media biased in, if you're not American born, you're not going to get as much love? Let's just put that out there.
Well, I think in an isolated situation, because all these wrinkles to it, it's not just a straight 1, 2, 3. You could say, well, no, it's just because we focused on the two that were locked in, that's already done. But then, and so Leonard's kind of on this bubble that he can't even get himself off of. But like you said, there was a focus on other, you know, participants, athletes that didn't place that high, but got a lot of immediate attention, a lot of focus. But then I think also it goes back to, you know, 2020 and some of the way, you know, how the women's side, it seemed a little.
Yeah, let's not sugarcoat it. It wasn't some of the way. Let's talk about that. Okay, let's keep it real. 2020 U.S. Olympic Marathon Trials in Atlanta, Alafine won.
Yep.
Flat out, she won the race. And the media did not embrace her win in a way that we thought. I mean, it didn't happen.
You're representing America.
Yes.
And there's a certain level of attention and praise and, you know, focus that should go with that.
That should go with that.
That didn't seem to happen.
It wasn't there. And even Alafine was saying, I saw like some interviews with her, that she was kind of later watching the coverage in 2020 and was kind of feeling like the sinking feeling like, they're not even really acknowledging me as it's in real time as this is happening. I'm the winner here of the U.S. Olympic trials. So we've definitely seen this happen before. And, you know, there's just, I definitely have some feelings about that. Like, I think that, and I want to say this the right way, because I don't want my words to be misconstrued. But I think if, as a country, we are going to say that it's okay for people from other countries to come into America, become U.S. citizens, work here, live here, pay taxes here, embrace this country,
fight for the country,
and they're American citizens, then they should be in all ways celebrated as American citizens. And there shouldn't be, and we as spectators shouldn't feel that there's any sort of bias that, when it comes down to a big stage, that we feel like that they're not being treated the same as American-born, in this situation, athletes. So that's what it comes down to.
You know, at the end of the day, maybe it's, you know, we all know Statue of Liberty and what it stands for and what it's supposed to be about. But I don't know. Did we get a little amnesia about, you know, the plaque and the poem, the section of the poem that says that's on the plaque at the foot of the Statue of Liberty that says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shores." So, hey, come on, let's go. If you're willing to come and perform and represent this country, we want you. We're happy to have you. And, you know, we just can't lose sight of that, you know, because it definitely seemed a little off.
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely, you know, that was kind of the catalyst of us getting on here and doing this recap. I mean, of course, I wanted to do it. I want to talk about, and we have so much to talk about.
Yeah, which we, you know.
Yeah, but I definitely feel like that's an important piece of this whole puzzle, or it's not a puzzle, but there's a whole piece of this weekend that feels lacking to me, and we need to talk about it. And I hope that Leonard gets the media coverage that he deserves, because, you know, being the third place finisher in a major, you know, marathon event like the trials.
Yeah, and it happens. It can happen anywhere at any time. Like, you know, I mean, I've always been amazed at the number of, you know, U.S. immigrants that end up in our military and are fighting for the country that is not their country of birth, but it's their country that is of adoption. And it means so much to them. And so, hey, you know, let's just celebrate anybody who's wearing red, white, and blue.
That's right.
And trying to represent us on a world stage. With, you know, so.
Yeah.
Somebody go out there and run that sub 208.10, please.
I know.
Let's get Leonard in there.
Anyway. And also, I wanted to say, too, I was reading this article in Runner's World, and they were saying, you know, we were talking about how if you have a high enough world athletics ranking, like if Leonard's ranking is high enough.
Okay.
Because they're only going to have 80 men in the Olympic race in August. There's three people that can go from each country.
Right.
They want 80 total.
Max at 80, yep.
But the thing is that I think a lot of the spots are being taken rapidly. And we basically, they were saying that it's better to have, they're looking more for the time than they are for the world ranking. So we don't want to wait for Leonard's world ranking to go up because it's kind of dicey. Maybe then they're like, we're not going to pick you.
Right. Yeah.
So I think we need to unlock the spot with the time rather than worrying about the ranking. But we'll see.
Now let's talk about this women's race.
Wait. Hold on. Before we get there.
That was some good stuff.
I'm so excited to talk about that. I want to talk about the men's race a little bit. Zach Panning, his performance was incredible. He led the race for such a long time. He did a lot of the work. Unfortunately, you know, he was just had a hard time probably in the heat. I'm sure we'll hear more about it, but he's gotten a lot of media coverage.
Good.
And that's great. And I think Zach is, and I've heard some of his interviews. What a nice guy. What a stand up. He just seems like a really great athlete and human being.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say he didn't come in third. I wonder what would have happened if Zach came in third and had the potential of making the team. I just feel like the media coverage would have been a whole lot different than it has been for Leonard. So we need to think about those kinds of things, and we have to make it fair for everybody because all these athletes work so hard to get to the Olympic trials and to try to make the team, and they all have their own individual stories, and they all sacrifice a lot. So we need to treat everybody the same.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we don't even have to speculate about it. How many times did you hear the guy, you know, Zach Panning's name versus Leonard's name and what was being talked about and where did they finish and who should we be focused on?
Yeah.
Right. That's all there is to it. You know,
and you know, the thing is, I want to have all these guys on our podcast. I mean, they all have their own individual stories. I think they'd be awesome to talk to.
Oh, yeah. You know, just Zach. Just good people.
I mean, Zach is sponsored by Brooks, who I love. And, you know, he came in sixth place. So that was awesome. But, so, but, you know, Connor first, Clayton second, Leonard third, Cabette in fourth.
Okay.
In 2:10:02 And he was right behind Leonard. It was funny as you. I want to talk about that. Okay. So
Wait, let him finish.
I just saw more coverage today and it was like showing the end of the race.
Yes.
And Leonard was sprinting down, you know, the straightaway to get to the finish line.
And Cabette's on his heels.
And Cabette is pretty much on his heels. And someone hands Leonard a flag and he kind of like grabs it and looks behind him. And I was like, can you imagine if Cabette just sprinted by him in that moment?
Right, take that one moment to get by him.
Because he's trying to stop. And even more reason to highlight this man. He stopped to get the stinking American flag. I mean, clearly he has so much love for his country. CJ Albertson in fifth, 2:10:07 Okay, let's talk 1 second about CJ. I think this man is an amazing athlete. He won CIM. First weekend in December,
okay.
Came back a week later, went down to Baja, California to win the Baja, California Marathon, which is in Mexico. There's, it's kind of like confusing, but it is called Baja, California,
even
though it's in Mexico.
Yep.
Turned around a week later and ran and won that marathon. And then now here we are less than 2 months later and he came in fifth place. In the marathon trials.
Right.
So amazing performance from CJ. We said Zach was in sixth. Nathan Martin in seventh place in 2:11:00
Yeah.
So excited. We're going to actually get to have Nathan on the show. I just want to put that out there. We don't really talk about like who's coming up, but I've already had a quick conversation via DM with Nathan. He's going
to
come on.
I'm looking forward to it.
We're going to get a chance to highlight Nathan. You know, he is the top African American born runner in the trials.
Okay, and, in the marathon. Okay.
Yeah,
marathon.
In the marathon. Right. And so his story is going to be, you know, I've loved following him. Can't wait to have him on to talk about his story. So, yeah, there's been, what else? There's been so many. Jake Riley from second place in 2020 in Atlanta. Unfortunately, he dropped out after 18 miles. Sam Chalenga was the fourth fastest qualifier going into this trials. He also had to drop out.
Yeah.
A lot of people dropped out because of the
heat. Sides, yeah.
Yeah.
Both men and women's, yeah. I know there's a few people walking that we were not expecting.
Yeah. Also, let's shout out Cabette. He is 40 years old.
That's right.
He got the new U.S. Masters Marathon record for the men. So that's incredible. What else? There's some other top 10. Reed Fisher came in ninth. Colin Benny in 10th. Number eight was Josh Izewski.
Okay.
Izewski. I'm so sorry. I don't like to do this during a podcast, but not say their names right. But anyway, 2:11:04 So really great top 10 male performances yesterday.
Nice.
I know we talk, and I'm a woman. You know I'm going to go off on the women, but we definitely got to shout out the men. Great day.
It was a great day.
Yeah. Really, really good stuff.
Now, the ladies did a whole lot of work and put on some great performances. And somebody, you know, of all the names I hear in the house all the time, I hadn't heard Fiona's name come up.
Yes.
But now I know who Fiona is.
Okay, let's talk about the amazing Fiona O'Keefe. Okay, let me just give a shout out to Allie on the Run. Allie Feller, we love you, Allie. We were able
to meet Allie.
What's up, Allie? We were able to meet Allie in person last May.
And on the show before.
We had her on the show.
Yeah.
I was driving the kids. You were gone for the week, and so I was responsible for driving the kids all over the place. So I was on a drive one of the days this week before the trials, and I was listening to Allie's show, and she had Fiona O'Keefe on the show. And I was like, okay, I know who Fiona is, but I just hadn't dug really deep into her background.
Okay.
So it was really great to listen to her on Allie's show. She qualified for the trials through the half marathon. She ran a 1:11 half marathon to qualify for the trials. This was her debut marathon. Mm-hmm. She absolutely ridiculously crushed it.
Yeah.
Watching that woman, 25 years old.
Floating.
She just absolutely floating. She is, okay, let's talk about her accolades. The youngest woman to ever win the Olympic trials marathon at age 25.
25, right.
The first woman to debut in the marathon and then go on to win. And the fastest time, the fastest Olympic trials marathon time. It was previously held by Shalane Flanagan.
Right.
Fiona blew it out of the water with a 2:22.10 finish yesterday in the heat of Orlando. Just unbelievable.
So, and she's just knocking it out of the park all fronts. My goodness.
And her coaches, I'm sure, are just beyond proud. Amy and Alistair Craig, who are her coaches. You know, Amy won the Olympic trials in L.A. in 2016.
That's right.
I was going to say 2020. 2016, we were there to watch her crush that. And now for her to come and coach the winner of the 2024 Olympic trials.
We need to know what you're cooking up, Amy.
Yeah, and Alistair.
And Alistair, yeah, because you got a nice formula.
They got a good formula going. So it was really neat. I saw a quick interview with Alistair talking about, you know, just how proud he was of Fiona. Okay. And that was really cool to see. That's just got to be, sure it's like the euphoria in the moment of having an athlete win the Olympic trials marathon. I'm sure today, Sunday, it's probably all sinking in for all of them. And yeah. I can't imagine how excited they are. We're excited for you guys.
Probably like watching your child do something, right? You put all this effort and energy and time and tears and...
And your friend.
And a friend, yeah. And then you see them to go on to do something like that. And you were a part of that process. That's amazing. That you can't. Yeah, I know you can't describe that feeling except to think it must be like watching your child do something like that, right? That's about the only way I could imagine.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's not that big of an age difference between them to be their child. But I know what you mean. I know.
Yes.
I know what you mean. But yeah, no. I mean, I'm sure. Like, I mean, I feel like that with my athletes that I coach when they have amazing performances.
Yeah, have a breakout and. Yeah,
oh yeah, I feel so much pride and just happy for them.
100%.
So anyway, congratulations to Fiona. Emily Sisson, who has the American record in the marathon, and she went in as the number one seed. So neat to see
her
Paris. Grab silver, get second, 2:22.42. It was hot out there, and there was this, and I don't know necessarily how hot, brutally hot, but I heard that the humidity and then there was a lot of sun exposure, and then which is why the athletes were really rallying to get an earlier start time,
right
and so they were, but imagine how faster they would have run if it was a 7 a.m start time as opposed to 10:20 a.m for the women.
Right
So we just think about how incredible these athletes are to be able to run that fast and just endure to capture their dreams. I was so happy for Emily.
That's right.
She, you know, she made it to the Olympics in track in 2020, but now to see her go on to represent the U.S. in the marathon is incredible. Dakota Lindworm.
Yes.
Let me talk about Dakota.
Third.
That was...
Going to Paris.
First of all, can I just say I love Dakota's kit? She had this really bright... you know, bright colors on. She looked incredible. I was just so happy for her to grab third place. I just thought her performance was amazing. I just shared a little clip of her interview on my Instagram story, and it was just talking about she was talking about her dad saying that. Okay. Oh gosh, what was it exactly? But just kind of like, basically, like believe that.
Oh, yeah.
And just, we talk about it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in life, you can get pigeonholed to be in a certain position. Like, wow, these people are so much faster. They're over here and they're so accomplished. They're all of these. They have all these accolades. They have all these things.
And you're a great up and comer.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Not anymore.
Yeah.
I'm here.
But you also have to have the mindset in a championship race like that to not think, I'm not supposed to, it's somewhere in the back of your head.
Right.
I'm not supposed to pass this veteran runner. I'm not supposed to do this. You have to put all that aside and say, I'm going to do whatever I can to be the best until I cross that finish line. Like, no matter who I have to pass, even if it's a 10-time Olympian with all of these accolades, like, you can't think about that in a race.
No, otherwise, not at all.
You'll never
right. You'll get concede. To the top. You'll always concede to the OG, right? Whoever that may be.
Right.
It's like, nope.
Nope.
Nope. We all worked. We all towed that line. Whoever gets there first is any woman's race.
That's right. And that's why when going into those races like that, you have to have a clean slate. You can't think about the person next to you and all the things that they've done. You just have to be, you have to say to yourself, it's every person for themselves until we cross that line.
That's it.
And that's how you're going to succeed. And that's exactly what Dakota did.
Yeah.
That's what she was supposed to do. That's what she's supposed to do. 225.31.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then one of our favorite people.
So, oh, can we also say something quick about Dakota? She also won Grandma's Marathon in 2021, 2022, and came in second this past year in 2023. So,
okay.
She's
got races under her belt.
She's got races under her belt.
Yeah, no newcomer that just got here.
No. Oh. She's an incredible athlete. I can't wait to see what she's going to do in the future. I'm so happy she's going to represent Team USA.
Sarah Hall, fourth place.
Fifth. What are you talking about? Jess McClain.
That's right.
Jess McClain for a minute? Okay, anybody that follows me that's been on my Instagram story knows I have so much love for Jess McClain. I was like literally, we were jumping up and down. I was so excited. I'm sitting there watching the TV screen. I see Dakota come across and I'm like, looking and I see this blurred image of someone that's not Caroline Rotich and it's not Sarah Hall, and I'm like, who is that? And I see the bright pink because she had a pink top on, and I'm is that Jess McClain? And I was thinking, I don't know yet, I can't see who it is. And as she got closer and closer, I was like, that's Jess McClain.
Here she comes,
who's been on the Sweet Run podcast. We love Jess. She is the kindest person.
Yeah.
I was so excited to see her come across the line in fourth. She dropped to her knees. You could see the absolute euphoria on her face. She was only 15 seconds from making the Olympic team. And it was like,
so close.
She's an unsponsored athlete. She works full time. She lives in Arizona. And I'm like, she's beautiful inside and out. Somebody get this girl a sponsor. It's going to happen.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming now.
It's coming.
Yeah.
I loved her post-race interview when she was asked, you know, was this, you know, you came in as a dark horse. No one was talking about you at all or really at all. Were you surprised on your performance? And she was like, no. I was like, go, girl. That's right. She was like, nope. She knew. And that's the thing, you know in your heart what your training looks like.
Yeah, you've done the work.
You've done the work. And sometimes you do the work and it doesn't all come together on race day. Mm-hmm. And for Jess McClain, it all came together. She got a huge PR. She ran 225.46.
Okay.
Killed it. I'm so excited for Jess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Shout out to her. Sarah Hall. Oh, my gosh. I absolutely, well, we both know this. We love Sarah Hall.
Cool people. Good.
Sarah and Ryan are so amazing.
But Sarah, she has 8 Olympic trials.
Yes. Between track and the marathon.
And the marathon.
8-time
and now
trials
a
qualifier.
Women's masters.
She grabbed the American masters record. So Des Linden had it in Chicago this past fall.
Mm-hmm.
And now the record belongs to Sarah, who ran 226.06 to get fifth, which is incredible and yet heartbreaking at the same time, because we know she went all in to make this team.
Of course.
When I listened to what she was saying on her Instagram about her 5-month buildup, she took no days off from running.
Wow.
She had an amazing team around her. Of course, Ryan is her coach. She had amazing physio, her beautiful daughters, her whole team, her just everything.
Everything revolved around getting her to this moment. Like as it does with all the athletes, they put so much of their every other aspect of their life on hold for this. And so, you know, shout out to all the wives, husbands, children, parents, you know, coaches, trainers, nutritionists, all of that whole team, you know.
it really does take a village. I mean, there's so much that goes into it. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, if you're trying to make an Olympic team, like, I imagine you don't have time to, like, worry about the laundry and the dishes and like, you got to, like, delegate. No. Because you need to be resting and focused. And you've got usually double workouts and strength training and physio appointments and massage and making sure you're eating and drinking and resting and on and on and on and on.
Yeah, it's a whole endeavor. So. Yeah.
But, you know, what Sarah was saying in her Instagram post was that the story continues, and I totally believe it. She is an amazing, gritty athlete, and she still loves the process.
Okay.
And when you love the process, you will keep coming back.
So we never know what might happen.
I know. You never know.
Go, Sarah.
Go, Sarah. Caroline Rotich came in sixth, 226.10. I loved seeing Caroline. You know, she was in contention for that third place position.
Right, right.
And so that was really neat to see, you know, to see her performance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we thought, and we, you know, Betsy Sena went in being very highly ranked.
Yep.
And so we didn't know what was going to happen with Betsy. And to see Betsy drop out and kind of really, like, see her fall to the ground, literally just fall on the grass. I was I hope she's okay. There's a lot that goes into the moment of deciding when you need to drop out. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not an easy decision, especially in a race like this that is kind of like the race.
Right.
So I would be interested to hear what Betsy's story is, but yeah.
Now, wait, there was someone else who dropped out, went to the hospital and thought, oh, I just didn't feel well.
Oh, Laura Thwaites.
Yeah, but they had COVID.
Yes, I was reading about...
Yeah, training Laura, and running.
Yeah, so I guess apparently, and I'm hoping I'm getting all this right, I'm trying to make sure that I'm saying all this accurately, but I was just reading Laura's Instagram post, Laura Thwaites, who's not been on the Sweet Run podcast. Laura, we'd love to have you on the show. What's up? Come on. anyway, she was saying that maybe a week or two ago, she had the flu.
Okay.
And got over it and just, you know, was, you know, went on to obviously get ready for this huge race.
Yeah, we got to get ready.
Gets on the course, is not feeling good pretty early on, ends up dropping out so badly that she said that she had to go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And they were like, the flu that you thought you had was COVID.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
Running through COVID.
Yeah.
You're training for the trials through COVID.
And don't even realize
don't know it.
You know, it's just kind of like the grittiness of these athletes and what they will do. She'll be back.
Oh,
she'll be back.
Yeah.
So that was really interesting to and I we wish her the best of luck getting better. McKenna Myler, seventh place in 226.14. McKenna is amazing, just from what I've read about her and just following her a little bit. Just love her and her grit and her story. So can't wait to see more from her. Lindsay Flanagan, eighth place, 226.25. Mm-hmm. I had written on Threads that I was like, everybody better watch out for Lindsay Flanagan. She was, you know, tucked away in Australia, not on social media. And I knew she was, you know, in Australia grinding away. Her coach lives in Australia, Anita Willis. And I knew she was there just kind of tucked away. And I thought, you know what? No one's talking about her a lot. I bet you she's going to just come and bust out. And she ran really well. For a while there, I was kind of thinking, okay, I don't know what's going to happen. I think she's going to...
Mm-hmm.
You know, make a move in the second half. You never know in the second half.
Right.
It looks all good in the first half, and everyone's...
I don't even think about it, because you can't... There's a certain point, and it happens at different stages, but it's never in the first bit, you know?
A lot of carnage can happen.
That's right. You know, I was, like, thinking to myself, nobody calls a win in a basketball game in the first quarter.
No.
You know, you got to get through the half. You got to get through, you know, mile 20, and something still could happen. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just never know. I mean, even in that last 10K, moves can be made that you would not. I mean, just like with, again, going back to Jess McClain. I mean,
right.
If you see some of the footage and pictures and video in different parts of that race in the first half or even the second half, you do not see her
not
at
in
all.
It. Right.
I do not see Jess McClain. So
where
did she come from?
But she did it.
She did it. She ran a smart race and she started picking off people and never looked back. So you definitely have to think about that in these races. But shout out to Lindsay Flanagan. Also, I want to shout out Nell Rojas. Nell was on the Sweet Run podcast back in May after she ran Boston. And I know she got injured and wasn't able to run a fall marathon.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? Nell is the ultimate competitor.
She right. She got out there and really gutted it out.
She did. And as I kept looking at the not the rankings, but like
places,
you know, on the side of the screen. And I was like, okay. And I was kind of yelling at the TV. I'm like, come on, Nell. Come on, Nell. Yeah. And like at one point she was in top 10. She might have even at one point got above top 10 finish. Mm-hmm. You know, ultimately Nell ended up dropping out. But we wish her the best.
And absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Same with Kira.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Kira D'Amato. Kira, we love you. She's also been on the Sweet Run podcast. She is the former American record holder.
Right.
We had her on the show after she broke the American record, which was
super gracious of her to spend her time with us that soon after.
I know. Yeah. She did it. Well, let's see. She broke the record in January 2022. Mm-hmm. She came on the show in April, but she had a race. She was in Stanford and she was getting ready to race, I think, the next day. And she graciously sat in her hotel room and chatted with us.
Yeah.
So it was so great to have her on the show. I'm always cheering and rooting for Kira. What I love about Kira is that she's so friendly to everybody. Like, I never get like any sense of like standoffishness.
Above it all.
Yeah, like, right. I'm a professional athlete. I can't talk to you. Like, she's just like, hey, what's up? How you doing? Like, she's a mom. She's a wife. She's grinding it out, though.
And she doesn't know who she's going to sell her next house to.
So I wonder if she stepped away. I know she kind of
stepped away. She may have stepped away from it a little bit, yeah.
A lot from that.
She's a realtor, you know.
She was a realtor when we were talking to her.
Yeah, so you know, you want to be friends with everybody. You never know where the next referral's coming from.
I know, but she's such a beautiful person.
Yeah.
And her, of course, her workouts on Strava are like incredible. I'm just like, oh my gosh, this woman is on fire. Kira will be back for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was reading that she, you know, at one point decided she needed to step off and she stepped literally into her husband Anthony's arms.
Oh, wow.
And,
okay.
That kind of made me choke up because I can just imagine being in that moment and you being on the side of the road and me, you know, deciding that this wasn't my day for whatever reason and stepping into your arms and the emotion of that.
Yes.
That makes me cry a little, you know.
My first thought was like, what's going on? You got to keep going.
It's the Olympic Trials Marathon. But you know what?
But it's that day. It's that day and that time in the moment.
There was a lot of people that did not finish this marathon.
Yeah, yeah, I kept hearing like, oh, DNF, DNF, DNF. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? But, you know, circumstances and, I'd catch you.
I know you will.
You could fall into my arms anytime on the road.
Not and the tears, I'm sure, are there and the emotion is there. And it's kind of like, is this the right decision and all of that. But you know what?
You know when you know.
You know when you know. And athletes are strong and resilient and they come back stronger. Kira will come back and be tearing it up.
Yeah, you got to play the long game.
Yeah.
Got to play the long game. So maybe not today, but I'll see you soon.
See you soon for sure. I want to shout out some other women.
Please do.
We talked about Nell. Erica Kemp has been on the show. Oh,
that's right.
And I was rooting and I'm always rooting for Erica. She ended up having a DNF. I'm not sure what happened, but like I said, a lot of athletes had a hard time out there yesterday. Ari Hendricks.
Yep.
She was on the show. We always love to root for Ari. She ran 2:58:30. Mm-hmm. She finished in under 3 hours. And I know I don't even want to say that. Like, Ari is way beyond running under 3 hours.
It wasn't
hours.
Her day.
It's not about that. I mean,
she didn't have her day.
She didn't have her day. So. She, you know, I'm sure wanted to run in the low 2:30s. I think that's what I heard that mm-hmm. that was some of her goals, and that totally makes sense. So, but we're proud of you, Ari.
Yeah.
You always represent. She'll be back. Peyton Thomas, 2:36:56. She killed it.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm hoping that Peyton will come on the show. I'd love to talk to her. We haven't had her on. And okay. I love just what I've heard about her story.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Speaking of that, I want to talk about how this Olympic trials has been the most diverse on the women's side.
Okay.
The most diverse trials that we've ever had. Amelia Benton, who we've had on the show. Shout out to Amelia. She's an amazing journalist. She wrote a great article that came out in Women's Running Magazine talking about the diversity of the women in the field. It was 12% of the women are women of color.
Okay.
Cool. And I was just like, you know.
Progress. Opening it up to, you know, having people think that, oh, I should be there. I could do this too. It's a possibility. And not, like you said, pigeonholing themselves into like, oh, that's not for me or whatever. But get out there and run. 2 feet, 2 feet. Let's go.
Yes, diverse. And not only, you know, African-American women, but Latina women, Asian women, just, you know, all across the spectrum of, you know, women of color. And so
if you've done the work and you have 2 feet, let's go.
I know. Do the work.
That's
believe
right.
in yourself. Yeah. And wonderful things can happen. And it doesn't always happen in that order.
Right, right.
It always doesn't happen where you think that you put in the work and it's going to happen. Sometimes it's like, obviously, the progress is not linear. But these women have shown that they're amazing athletes. I want to shout some of them out. Can I do that?
Give them a rundown.
All right. We talked about Peyton. We talked about Ari. Alaphine, our previous winner.
Yes,
she did not finish. But you know what? We knew going into this race that Alaphine,
She was struggling. Stuff with, yeah,
she had had a hamstring tear some time ago. And the fall had been, she said that the fall had been rough for her. And it was kind of like touch and go. She'd have good days. She'd not have such good days. So, ultimately, you know what she decided, or her hamstring decided that she wasn't going to finish the race.
Yeah.
She's an amazing athlete. I can't wait to see what she does in the future. It's going to be awesome. Sarah Pisani is, a one of the women in the diverse field, 246.52. Kadane.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm saying her name right. I'm so sorry. 243.37. Joanna Reyes, 255.37.
Cool. All right.
Maggie Montoya, 233.12.
Okay.
Tammy Tsai. I want to talk about Tammy for a minute. Her story, I don't know if, do you know Tammy's story?
No. What was unique about Tammy?
So Tammy qualified for the trials the very last day at CIM in December.
Oh, okay. Right.
The qualifying time, as we know, is 2:37 or faster.
Yep.
Well, Tammy ran 2:37.00.
Oh.
Yes. And it was a moment when she crossed the line that it was kind of like she had this bewildered look. Like, did I make it? Did I not? I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea. Oh, my gosh. Should I celebrate? Should I not? I don't know. Anyway, she made it 2:37.00. And what an incredible story.
Ooh,
so, yeah. Man. Shout out to Tammy. So many. I know I'm missing. I tried to write down as many women as I can. And maybe we'll even do a part two. But this is just a celebration of the very best marathoners in America.
That's right.
And yesterday was a complete celebration. So many brands were out, you know, in Orlando with pop-up tents and parties and coverage.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just really become a different, the landscape is different, you know? I mean, with social media and so many ways that you can be on social media, you know, and YouTube and just, you know, it's a different world than
exposure.
It even was at the 2016 Olympic trials.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
You know,
so much exposure,
years ago.
So much exposure and opportunity. So everybody should, you know, get out there, put your shoes on and, you know, you do the work. Maybe you too can represent America. Or at least have the opportunity to try.
I know. And for, you know, there's a lot of runners that is not going to be in their wheelhouse and it's not going to be on their radar. And that's okay. We celebrate everyone from the very back of the pack runners to these Olympic marathon.
Well, the more you get in the pack, the better the competition is for those who are at the front of the pack who have that potential. So, you know, we need everybody to get in. You're really pushing from the back, right?
Yeah.
Or wherever you fall in, you're pushing the whole crowd and the whole group forward. So that's what we that's what we want. And besides, it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. And you know what's been so fun, too, is to see and feel the excitement in our sport and how many people that just traveled to Orlando because they wanted to be there. They wanted to be a part of it. They wanted to be on the side of the road cheering for our distance runners.
Right.
Being at the parties, being on the at the panels, and being a part of it at the shakeout runs and all of that. And that goes to show you how many fans we have of the sport. And we need that to highlight our sport, to keep it
yep, in the relevant. Forefront and relevant. Absolutely.
I want to see in the next 4 years what will happen. We're going to have the Olympics in L.A.
Woohoo.
2028. I mean, let's let that sink in. I hope they let them
run that marathon early in the morning.
I know.
L.A. summer? I woo. Know. Anyway,
we have a lot of time. We got to get to Paris first, but
yes.
We have a lot of time to talk about 2028 Olympics, but we're understandably already excited because we live here. I just hope, I'm already projecting, you know, that they'll make the marathon course friendly.
Yes.
Even if it's going to be hilly and challenging because it's hilly and challenging in L.A., that's yes. just what it is. But mm-hmm. don't do it like they did 2016. Like downtown L.A., high noon, complete exposure. It was just, don't do that.
Yeah, high noon in August is a recipe for disaster in a marathon.
Think about the athletes and the timing as well, which I know it's like you have to put on a show. NBC wants to get as many TV viewers coverage. As they can. And yeah. You know, for instance, if you do a 7 a.m. start time on the East Coast, that means it's 4 a.m. on the West Coast. And
right.
Or, well, okay, let's think about that. If they have it here, obviously,
mm-hmm.
they would have to do it. Well, if they did it, yeah.
It'd be easier.
Yeah, it'd be easier if you do, yeah. If 7 you do 7 a.m. Pacific it's 10 time, it's yeah. 10 a.m.
But then East what Coast. About the rest of the world? That could, we'd have to look at the whole, and I don't have my whole global
No, but I want to know what's in the best interest of the athletes. How can we have a happy medium where the network gets their coverage and the athletes get a race that is conducive to
excellence?
Well,
yeah, we'll see how Paris. What are we doing? Let's get to Paris first, like you said.
Well, Paris is going to be hot and Paris yeah. is going to be hilly. The hilly part they did not get in Orlando, but the hot part they did. So
all right,
just keep on with the heat training.
Yes. Did you see that one guy? Oh my gosh, I forget what athlete it was, but they showed this room he set up, and he had like 12.
That was CJ Albertson.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, CJ yeah, was yeah, yeah. 12 like infrared heaters with like boiling water in the background, so it would make the room humid. And he's running on this treadmill yes. in this mess, and I'm like, dude, you got to get there. But, you know, yeah.
He is.
He prepped for
he's it. A hardcore, amazing athlete. And you got to do those kinds of things. Like, what were we talking about? Like, if you want to be excellent, you have to do things that...
A little bit crazy
or a lot crazy, and things that other people are not going to do. That's right. What makes the best athletes in the world. That's why these people are running. You know, women could be running upwards to 120 miles a week and focusing every ounce of their being on fine-tuning themselves to be the very best athlete, from everything they put in their body to their strength training to getting a massage and their mm-hmm. PT and their coaching and their sleep.
All of it. Yeah.
So I'm just in awe of these athletes. And it does, you know, I was saying this to some of the athletes that I coach. I'm like, watching this marathon yesterday, it does light the fire under yourself a little bit. It does sure. feel like, even if I can't do every single thing that these professionals are doing, if I can do some of it, if I can work on my sleep,
right,
work on, you know, the thing, I we eat really healthy, but we sometimes do. I feel like for me it's like making sure I'm eating enough,
right,
that just fine tuning the timing.
Well, and yes, and that's it. What, how can I optimize for me, right, in my circumstances, my situation, you know. And so you see these people who are at the pinnacle of their craft and they're always optimizing and tweaking. Maybe I should be doing that for whatever the pinnacle of my situation is.
Yeah.
Right. And where I'm trying to go and never be good. It's a balance between being content not satisfied, but content with where you are, but keep pushing at the same time.
I'm not content with where I am.
Well, then just be content where you are, but keep moving where you are.
No, I'm not content with where I am, but I have a fire lit to get past that discontent, to move on, to be my own personal version of greatness.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And we need to do a separate podcast on this because we need to talk about our training. We'll do another one, yes. You guys. We don't want to get too far afield. But before we wrap things up, mm-hmm. I do want to shout out Kara Goucher, who has been on our podcast 2 times.
Yes.
She did a phenomenal job of her on-air coverage.
Yeah, coverage.
Shout out to Kara. She looked beautiful. And more importantly, because I know sometimes we talk about women's in how they look, and that's not what it's about.
Matt, what's up with that? When's the last time you talked about how, you know, Bryant Gumbel, okay, when you talked about look being, you know, looking.
You're dating yourself.
I know. I was like, ooh.
Ooh, don't say that.
But not Bryant Gumbel, but a male sports announcer.
Yes.
Being so handsome.
I know.
In his delivery.
I know. We don't talk about that. We don't talk about that. I know. I'm sorry. I did not mean it. You know what?
Kara knows. It's all good.
We have so much love for Kara. She's intelligent. She knows the sport. She is a 2-time Olympian. She's one of the greatest marathoners that we've ever had in the U.S. She knows this sport. She is the absolute perfect person to do the on-air announcing for this event, as well as many others. I hope NBC keeps her forever. Yeah. And we love her. I love listening to Kara because she knows what she's talking about. I mean, there's been so many marathons and different events in the past that you know these people do not really know what they're talking about. They don't know it inside and out. They haven't done the sport. They're not an athlete themselves, and if they are, they've never run a marathon before. They're an athlete, they're a sprinter, and that's totally fine, but having Kara there, it just brings it to a different level and an appreciation for long distance runners.
Yes. And actually, I was thinking of Bob Costas because he always does the Olympics.
Oh,
you know, we know when
it's. We don't talk about, he looks so good. His skin looked amazing. We don't talk about that. So let's not do it to the women.
That's right.
I apologize.
Gotta keep you in check every once in a while. You know, make sure you're, you know.
We got 2 daughters. We gotta.
That's right.
Keep it in check.
All right. Anyway.
Also, shout out Dina Castor, who's also been on our podcast. She was on the back of the truck.
Yeah.
The media truck, getting, you know, talking and having her coverage of the race yesterday. Always love Dina. So much love for her. Legend.
Knowledge, perspective is off the charts.
I also love seeing Joan Benoit Samuelson.
That's right.
She was at the finish line and I want to say, is this right? Oh my gosh. Okay, I will retract if this isn't right, but I think Joan was giving the medals to the women women as they were crossing, or saying some words to them, hugging them. She was there. I loved listening to her on just some other media outlets, and I always love Joan and what she brings. And I mean, my gosh, come on, talk about legend.
Yeah, she's GOAT.
Yeah,
she's GOAT.
She's absolute GOAT. So, what else? Who else should we shout out or talk about that was relevant to yesterday's race? So many people. We're probably leaving out people, and we don't mean to.
Well, you know, we saw a cameo. Well, you know, a cameo of Meb. You know,
Meb
had some great commentary.
Meb was next to Kara
on
the NBC broadcast. He definitely brought his, his commentary and his thoughts. And I mean, come on, Meb is incredible. GOAT.
Yep.
I mean, if you really think about looking back now on Meb's career and everything that he's done, he's also been on the podcast, by the way. So go back and listen to our conversation with Meb.
Yes.
But if you really think about what he has done for our sport, it is incredible. Winning Boston the year after the bombing, winning the New York City Marathon, being a multiple-time Olympian, it's incredible.
And I will say, for perspective, I think Meb has earned and been given the flowers that he deserves, right? As a non-U.S. born American citizen representing the country, he definitely gets his flowers.
He does.
And so it's not all, it's not always, well, why didn't the non-U.S. born male or man or woman not get their flowers in the moment? Meb, I think, has always gotten his flowers.
He has.
As far as I've seen, to
ask Meb what he thought about that in the beginning of his career.
Right.
I wonder if it was one of the things, and I don't want to put something there that's not true, but I just wonder what he felt like the media coverage was for him at the very beginning of his career when he was doing great things, but he wasn't that well known.
Yeah.
Now, let's just say, for instance, pre-2004, when he won the silver medal in Athens.
Right, right.
He was still an amazing athlete doing amazing things, but before he won that medal, I wonder what he felt like the reception was in America toward him. I don't know. We can go back and look and talk to him again or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think because Meb has been around for so long and done such amazing things for American distance running.
Yeah.
Is that the reason why? And like, but a Leonard Carrier, okay, he came in fourth in the 2020 Olympic trial. So it's not like he's just coming out of nowhere.
No.
And here's the thing. Let me go back. Even if he didn't get fourth at the trials in 2020, and even if he was a new up and comer, He got third that day. Just like if any other American would have gotten third that day and came out of nowhere, they would have been heralded greatly. So we just want to say, just make it across the board for everybody. If you're an American,
you're
an American. Period.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. I guess we should probably go. I think we said we were going to do this for like 15 minutes, and I know it's been a heck of a lot longer than that.
Yeah.
You know, when we get to talking, we cannot stop.
So, on that note.
Oh wait. Hold on.
I was like, we're out.
We out of here. I also want to just say, go back and listen to episode 137 with Jeremy Rivera. We had on to talk about the actual city of Orlando.
Yes.
She did an excellent job highlighting her city. She is also an amazing distance runner striving to make it to the trials, which I know she will.
Yeah, she'll get there.
And she's a 2:47 marathoner.
Ooh, right. Come right, on. A little more.
She's fast.
Yep.
So it was great to have her on the show as well. And it was neat to see. I was following her a little bit on her social media. She was out there cheering the runners on in her home city. So, and also too, you guys, like, if you're planning on making a trip to Orlando in the future, definitely go back and listen.
She gave a lot of good info.
A lot of good information. Also, check out the show notes. That's a great way for people to,
it is just a quick travel guide.
You go to sweetrun.com, go to an episode in a city that you are interested in or you're going to be visiting, go to the show notes, and it'll have where to run, where to dine out, where to stay, races, hotels, or I just said that, running stores, and all of that.
All good stuff.
So, yeah. All right, we got to go now.
Deuces.
See you later. Peace out. Love you guys. Boom.